Let us open the Bible in Matthew chapter 10, verse 40 to verse 42. Matthew chapter 10, verse 40 to verse 42. If you pay attention to the title, we finally have arrived. 5 weeks, local missions. Good news, the pastor will stop telling you to go out and preach the gospel. Today is the final one. Local missions finale, Matthew chapter 10, verse 40 and verse 42. I will still remind you, you need to preach the gospel. Absolutely. Matthew chapter 10, verse 40 to verse 42. It's a very short passage, so let us pray first. And once we start reading, then we stick with the text. Lord Jesus, thank you so much. Your word, it was a long journey, Lord, more than a month. And we are looking forward to hear this great finale. There is rewards when we preach the gospel. And we are very, very looking forward to the good part, to these rewards, Lord. And may you give me grace to preach. May you give all of us grace to hear. And above all, may you give us grace to apply this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Matthew chapter 10, verse 40, all the way to verse 42 says, "He who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives the one who sent me. Anyone who receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. Anyone who receives a righteous man because he is a righteous man will receive a righteous man's reward. And if anyone gives a cup of cold water to one of these little ones because he is my disciple, I tell you the truth, he will certainly not lose his reward." Church local missions finale. Please, can we have the next slide? I believe all of us, you saw here that the word reward happens a lot of times. Reward, 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 reward. So definitely the finale of this sermon series, it's about rewards. From day one all the way here, I told you a lot what you need to do. Now, we're going to talk about the very special part of this sermon. There is reward. And before we jump into the sermon, just for the sake that you understand what we are talking about, I believe we all got shocked with the news of the Louvre. Who, raise your hand just so I know, how many of you know that there was a theft in the biggest museum? You know Louvre? Yes, worth $100 million, okay? That's a wrong reward. It's $100 million, but it's wrong. That's not a reward, that's theft. What is the right reward? It's coming, church. As soon as the Leafs fall and the Blue Jays win the World Series, all the houses gonna be light up. You know it's coming. Christmas. And what happens in Christmas morning? We get gifts. That's good reward. You don't do anything, you get the gift. There is also another illustration I want you to keep in mind. The worker's paycheck. Some of us, we love work. Some of us, the word retirement, it's out of the table. I'm going to work. Until I am 80, I'm going to work. What is good about the work, it is the paycheck, right? It doesn't matter if you're a hard worker. It doesn't matter if you like what you do or you don't like. We all agree the paycheck is good, It's a reward. So I really need you to keep in mind these two illustrations as we go here. One illustration, your reward. You don't do anything. It's a morning Christmas. You get a gift. The other kind of reward is the hard-working reward. You work, and then you get your paycheck. Keep those things in mind, because, church, as we read the text, I do want to make this statement for you. The rewards we talk about here, they are not prosperity gospel. And that's why I put the Louvre as an illustration. What the prosperity gospel gets so wrong, church, they tell you if you give your tithe, God gives you a car. If you pray a prayer, God gives you health, body. It's all material. It's all stuff. As you read with me, church, you read none of those. The rewards are completely spiritual. The rewards are completely relational. And that's what we're going to see right now. The first point of this sermon, it is Jesus is the reward. We read this in verse 40, and I want you to pay attention to verse 40. He who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives the one who sent me. You already saw this. You saw this last week. Whoever confesses me, Jesus says, I will confess him to the Father. Whoever denies me, Jesus says, I will deny him to the Father. First point of this sermon, your first reward, Christmas gift. He came to earth to save you. He came to earth so that you receive him. He came to earth so you are forgiven by him. And how does that function, church? Somebody needs to preach. Somebody needs to speak. Somebody needs to share the gospel. Pay attention with me, church. Look to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, it was in our confession of faith, assurance of faith today. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe with your heart, you will be saved. That's Romans chapter 10. Everybody knows this verse. This verse, it's Romans chapter 10, verse 9. When you go ahead in Romans chapter 10, verse 14 is going to say something very interesting. Paul is going to ask a question, which is rhetorical. He doesn't need nobody to answer because everybody knows the answer. He said, verse 9, if you confess Jesus, you are saved. In verse 14, he asks the question, how can they be saved if they never heard the gospel? How can they be saved and believe if there is nobody to preach? That's the same idea Jesus is using here. Last week, he talked about confession. If you confess me, I will confess you to the Father. If you confess me, you're saved. And right at the end, he tells everybody, not the people who will listen, he tells the disciples, he tells me, he tells you, church, if they need to confess me and believe me in order to be saved, guess what you need to do? You need to preach. That's what Jesus is saying here. The very first reward is Jesus himself. And because I know Jesus is my salvation, because you know Jesus is your salvation, what do? We go out, we preach the gospel. Whoever receives is saved. Whoever receives gets the ultimate reward, Jesus himself. So you see, this is not prosperity gospel. Jesus is the reward. Second point of this sermon, fellowship is the reward. I know you don't think that's a reward. I know you don't think. But fellowship is the reward. And church, attached to the word fellowship, I really need you to understand the word discipleship. You may be in church, I may be in church, and we may have a fellowship with one another. Not necessarily we may have discipleship with one another. Are you following me? You may have fellowship with one another. Not necessarily you may have discipleship with one another. And that's what Jesus is talking about here. Pay attention to verse 41. Anyone who receives a prophet receives a prophet reward. Everyone who receives a righteous man receives a righteous man's reward. And anyone who gives, pay attention to the word give, a glass of water, which by the way, it's not this one. Okay? He's not talking about water. Will not lose their reward. Receive, give. I have two illustrations here to help you to understand what Jesus is talking about, church. Salvation is by grace. That's what we saw in the very first point of the sermon. Jesus is our ultimate reward. The second point of this sermon, he wants to reward you, but he wants to reward you through relationships. In the Old Testament, Joshua, the leader of Israel, he had a prophet. He had a righteous one. He had a little one. In the New Testament, Paul the apostle, he had a prophet. He had a righteous one. He had a little one. What is Jesus teaching you here, church? We all need to have someone above us in our lives to give us advice, to pour in our lives. We all need it. We need someone who walks with us. Same church, same membership, same ministry, somewhat same age. You know, we are going through the same things in life. I am retired. He is also retired. So on and so forth. I am a student. He is also a student. Companion. And all of us, we need little ones that we can give a glass of water, which is not water, which is we need to disciple the next generation. Somebody younger than me. I always did this in the Brazilian church. Every time I would preach or teach, I would bring people younger than me to be with me. Always and always. They would see how I prepare for a sermon. They would give me input. And sometimes I even would give a chunk of the sermon to them. I preach 20, you preach 20. Why? Little ones. Little ones. Joshua had Moses as a prophet. Joshua has had Caleb as a companion. Joshua had the Israelites as the little ones. Paul had all the other apostles as the prophets. Paul had Barnabas as a companion, the person who went to do missions with him. Paul had Timothy, like a son to him in the faith, who would carry the work. And church, This is so important because if we miss one of this, it is not a salvation issue. Absolutely not. But we miss the reward. The reward, it's completely attached to people, church. If you don't receive the prophet, somebody above you, to pour into your life, you lost the reward. If you don't want to have someone that you disciple, that you give a glass of water to them, you lose the reward because the rewards are completely attached to people. And here comes the hard worker paychecks illustration. You work hard. Yes, you do. Relationships, discipleships, it is hard work. It gets understanding. It takes understanding. It takes patience. It takes availability. It takes all of those things. But the rewards are amazing. When you do life together with people, it is amazing. And Can I make this very personal? Every young pastor needs motherly advice from the congregation. Yes or no? Wear a suit in communion day. Yeah, amen? I need someone above me who pours into my life. So each relationship, there is this reward. Thank you for all my motherly advice. Thank you for all my fatherly advice in this house. Thank you so much. So the fellowship itself is the reward. Don't do life by yourself, church. Never, never do that. The third reward we have here, church, is the work. The work is the reward. And there, let us quickly just recap the sermons. We have seen four times already, the mission of the church, the work of the church, the fundings of the church, the not-for-profit character of the church, the local mission responsibility of the church. I summarize things in mission, confession, we need to be vocal Christians, and we need courage. We need courage. People resist. People persecute. And these two quotes, I think it summarizes everything we have spoken this far. One comes from a theologian. One comes from a politician. First one, the church exists by mission. He says this and he compares the mission of the church to the fire. If you stop the wood and feeding the fire is going to quench. The fire is going to disappear. If you take the mission out of the church, that wood, the church loses its purpose. Right? And Martin Luther King Jr., very famous, "The silence of the good is tragic." What Martin Luther King Jr. says that it's very resonates with us is this. He's not impressed with the outcry of the evil. He knows evil people will speak evil. They will protest. They will try to do something. He knows that. What appalled him, what surprised him the most was the silence of the good. The good people, instead of standing up and doing the right thing, I stay at home and I watch TV. I'm not going to do anything about this. So that's what it was remarkable to Martin Luther King Jr. And I do think that those two things really summarizes our journey here as we talked about the mission of this church. And now, church, I do need you to grab your paper just for the sake of time. I have there Mark chapter 6 and Luke chapter 9. And I need you to get ready. We will end this sermon by just reading the report. The goal here is that you see how good it is when we do the work. I know I sounded like a broken record in this pulpit from the last month. I know you got tired of me saying, church, we have a mission. Church, the empty pews must be crowded with people. Church, we need to do something. I know you got enough of me. Don't say amen. Just acknowledge it. I know. But there is purpose, church, because I want us to receive the reward. The work is a reward. There is a reason why Jesus encourages, commands his church to do the job. He wants to reward the church. Just like the employer rewards the employee, Jesus wants to reward his church spiritually for doing the work. Pay attention, look to the reward. Let us read Mark chapter 6, verse 12 and 13. Let us do this together with me. They went out and preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. Luke chapter 9, verse 6. So they set out and went from village to village, proclaiming the good news and healing people everywhere. Personal question. Try to be as honest as you can. Would you like to be living, doing, and seeing all these things? Would you like to do, you know, if it was you, would you like to be in this narrative? I would love to. I would love to. I want you and us, all of us, to share this reward. And the only way we can do this, it's when we do the work. That question is important, church. My final words for us as a finale of this journey, as we talked about the mission of our church and the local mission of our church, it is, the mission is local, but the reward is eternal. I do want to share with you a personal testimony here. You all know, because I tell this many, many times, I came from a college, and this college has opened up every Tuesday for the community. What was a chapel service, only students and alumni, became a community. Everybody can come, okay? And we did that in a very good season, COVID. We couldn't even see who is coming. You need to be very welcoming. How are you welcoming with a mask? I'm very happy you're here. Can you see my smile? Impossible, right? We did this in a very tough season. And church, we started with 30 people maybe. And the thing today, it's on the thousands. I think their average attendance is 1,000 people. So many salvations we have seen in the building for all those years. And you know I'm an immigrant. But if I ever need to leave Canada because Donald Trump says go back to your country, you know, I will go back very, very happy. What I have lived there, church, the lives that were transformed in a season like COVID. So much suicides. And in that place, there was salvation. I will never forget that. That reward, nobody's going to take from me. Trump can take from me. Carney can take from me. Retirement can take from me. You can take the microphone out of my hand. Nothing will take that reward from me. Being part of that and seeing that. I do want to encourage you, church. God makes miracles. Please say amen. Please. God makes things flourish. Okay? And I do, as we finish in a very good note, I do want to encourage you, if you want to do now or if you want to do later, think about something you were part of that gave fruit. I don't know, cadets, ladies group, Sunday school, Camp Shalom. Where are my Camp Shalom people? Think about those things and try to connect what was your reward. And as you do this, let your heart be filled with joy and let that also be your prayer. God, I want that. I have the first reward, Jesus. I have the second reward, fellowship. And I never want to forget about the last reward, work. This joy that it is to do ministry with people and with God. So today, think about that. Okay, church? Amen. Lord, before we switch gears, thank you so much, Lord. The Bible says, whoever comes to you must believe that you exist and you are the rewarder of those who put their faith in you. That's Hebrew, church. That's Hebrews, Lord. God, thank you so much for the gifts you have given us. And right now you give us a great gift, communion, as we celebrate salvation, as we proclaim who we believe, as we remember your sacrifice. Let this fill our hearts with joy, Lord. And we love you. And we thank you, Lord. And we appreciate you. Amen. Amen.